RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
The last time we chatted with Jan Rivers of Genspect and founder of Public Good New Zealand was in mid-July, and that was on an update on gender medicine in policy here and abroad. And Jan is back with us. Hi, Jan. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me again.
No worries. Okay, we're not talking specifically about what we talked about last time, though that is ongoing. We'll have more chats about that, no doubt. But we got you on this morning because we're interested in a win. I don't know if it's a total win, partial win, at the Media Council over a spin-off article. So what's happened here, Jan?
Oh, okay. So it was yesterday, and the Media Council ruling was published both on their website and on the spin-off website to say that an article, an opinion piece by Julia de Bresse, Dr. Julia de Bresse, had been found to have an error in it. And the specific error was, you know, related to the conversation that we had last time, which is about the CAS review of gender medicine in the UK. And the claim was made that 98% of the research was ignored because they weren't randomized controlled trials. And of course, it's very hard to do a randomized controlled trial if you're giving somebody puberty blockers or testosterone. You know, it's going to become pretty apparent very quickly whether they're on the drug or not. So anyway, that was untrue, completely untrue. And it was had to be corrected by a UK MP, a woman called Dawn Butler, who made the same claim initially that the research had been ignored. And she had to apologize in Parliament. And the UK program, I think it's called More or Less, it's a stats program on the BBC. They investigated this claim and said, no, it's not right. And Dr. Cass herself said that anybody claiming that was being incredibly, it was incredibly unhelpful for them to be repeating disinformation. Now, I drew the attention of the problem to the spin-off editor, Madeline Chapman, who refused to make a change. And so the specific part of my complaint that was upheld was not only that the information was erroneous, but also that having been provided with a correct information, they failed to make that correction. So that's quite serious. Usually,
was there a reason for not making that correction, Jan, because that is a normal thing to do in media, in reporting. You make the correction.
Absolutely. So I think what happened was the response that I got, anyway, why they weren't going to correct it, was that that wasn't really the focus of the article. The focus of the article was on the experience of children using gender medicine in New Zealand. And so it wasn't really that important.
Well, so we're in another universe, are we? Are we?
I think and then there was something that could have slightly been misunderstood on the very day after. I think the British Medical Journal said the quality of the research is very poor, and only two articles were good quality out of about 103. And that was taken to mean that the rest of the research had been ignored, which completely wasn't true.
I noticed that Dr. de Bresse mentioned that. And this is a curious, I'm taking a quote from your piece, a curious quote from her, that the CAS report was out of step with high quality care provided in Aotearoa. Out of step? I mean, what does that even mean?
Yes. I mean, it's because there, and this is why I'm so grateful to Reality Check Radio for being willing to cover these issues, because the rest of the media have been incredibly lazy in drawing really attention to this. And that is a claim that is made, and it's made on the basis that New Zealand care is sort of individualised and takes place in GP practices rather than in one large central clinic. But that in itself has problems.
Well, that could even be more, will have its own problems, like you say, because the variability that is possible there is also, you know, so loose. Anyway, sorry.
That's right. And the the difference really is between affirmative care, which sounds lovely, which is what happens in New Zealand. You know, the child comes to you, they say that they're gender confused or they think they're the opposite sex. And so you affirm the belief, the perception. But the trouble is that something like 85% of those children pre-puberty will change their mind by the end of puberty.
Yeah.
So you've got a cohort of kids who are seeking, and their parents are encouraged to seek a treatment on the basis of actually not being able to tell whether they're the very, very small percentage of children who will persist in that belief beyond puberty.
Wait on it. Just want to talk about affirmation. Sorry to keep jumping in, but I'm always triggered in these moments. Affirmation, you've just kind of explained that in one way. But here's the thing. Here's the reality. If you don't affirm, you're not making any money.
Well,
call me cynical, but, you know, if you're not affirming, they go away. That's it. No more visits.
I think it's a bit more complicated than that, partly because the drugs are, some of them are fully funded by Pharmac. So it's not the GPs themselves who make the profits.
Yeah, but they get the consultation every time.
They do get the consultation. I think the more important issue...
Okay, I could be missing something. All
right. Yeah, the more important issue is that a lot of doctors do feel very, very conflicted about the idea that they should be prescribing puberty blockers. And because of the way the policy is rolling out and because you have people in Te Whatuoro saying this is just like prescribing something for a rash or like prescribing something for a cold...
No, it's
that,
not.
Actually, they feel pressured. And I've even heard of older young people seeking cross-sex hormones, kind of debating whether if they don't get them from the GP, whether they report the GP, you know, like that's the kind of environment.
Oh, so there's a fear element now at work, potentially.
There is a definite, if you don't give me what I want, then you are not affirming me in my belief, and therefore you're... You know, it's tantamount to conversion therapy, not to be providing.
But affirmation is conversion therapy in a way, isn't it? What's different about it?
Well, you and I think that it is a conversion.
I knocked you off your balance a bit before what you were saying. Sorry about that. But like I say, me and everybody else, all along the way, every point of this, we find trigger moments everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to what they said about you and Dr. DeBress and the editor of Spinoff, and carry on with that.
Oh, yes. So there's quite a bit of back and forth as you go through a media council complaint. First of all, you complain to the outlet themselves, the publisher, and then you submit your complaint to the media council. And after I'd submitted my complaint to the media council, the response from the Spinoff's editor was to mount a personal attack on me in the most awful terms, accusing me of denying the existence of transgender people, accusing me of being somebody who would refuse them care, accusing me of having bullied people on social media. I mean, none of these things stand up to any kind of analysis. And of course, I didn't have a right of reply. But nonetheless, that sort of an attack without the right of reply is going to have an impression in the minds of the people who are assessing the complaint, which I find to be very, very unfair. And that sort of bled through into the way that the summary of my ruling was presented. And I had to go back and say, you can't attack the complainant in your ruling. That is going to have a chilling effect on the way
the ruling attacked you in a way.
There was an initial ruling which had about four or five paragraphs kind of summarizing what the Spinoff had said, Spinoff's editor had said about me. And I had to ask them to withdraw that ruling, and they had to go back and rewrite it, removing
those paragraphs. So they accepted that shouldn't be in there.
They were quite happy to put up a ruling which attacked the complainant and which basically obviously would have a really chilling effect. If you make a what you think is a legitimate complaint to get an error of fact changed in a broadcast or in a newspaper article or in a website.
Yep. You gotcha. Yep.
You don't expect also to become the person whose personality and beliefs is trawled over the coals. It's kind of odd. I was a bit disappointed. But there is a more important thing, and that is that in some ways the Media Council do work quite well in that they only upheld one aspect of my complaint. I found about 8 things that I thought were wrong with the story. And I also drew attention to the fact that although Dr. De Bresse researches this area and receives money from the Marsden Fund to research this area, nonetheless, there was nothing in the notification about her that she was recommending research, people to look for research which she herself has created. That's one thing. So there was a kind of what I thought was a conflict of interest in there. And the second thing was that the story was initially, when I initially saw the story, it wasn't an opinion piece. I think they recategorized it. The case was made that the opinion piece label had inadvertently dropped off and then was reapplied after it was pointed out.
Did the dog eat the homework?
It felt a little bit like that. I mean, it's not really material to the fact that the complaint has been upheld. And the really interesting thing about that is that numerous New Zealand organisations still have published that information. So, for example, PATHA has made the same allegation that 100 out of 103 articles are false. Inside Out says did a Facebook post that said, I don't know, something like that the PATHA report should be completely disregarded because it didn't have the information. Gender Minorities Aotearoa have posted the link to the wrong PATHA information. And then more recently, the president of PATHA and Dr. De Bresse have both been interviewed by a woman blogger called Emily Wrights. I don't know. I don't read the blog, but the information has been repeated in there about the missing.
They're all saying the same thing.
So that's right. So we've got multiple organizations, including organizations that are funded by government to be credible sources of information, who are reporting false information.
What information do they have to support their case that's credible? I don't think I've ever seen any. I've seen slick brochures and very well thought out ways of persuasion, but I don't think I've seen any data at all.
Well, I think what's happened over the last decade or so is that the CAS review found this, that the quality of research into gender medicine is amongst the poorest that they'd ever had to deal with. So, but nonetheless, the fact that that information hasn't been officially retracted, that the research still exists, means that it can be recited and requoted. And so we've got basically a tower of misinformation built on a basis of sand. You know, that's what's happening. And so it's a bit like any kind of conspiracy theory, that if you've got the time to look underneath the information and assess the quality of what you're reading has been assess the quality of what you are reading based on the underlying information, you can make your own assessment that it's very poor. But of course, individuals can't do that at the rate that this information is coming out. And the other issue is that there is nobody within the public sector, there's nobody within academia, there's nobody within government who is funded to take this critical approach. So we're just building a very, very unbalanced information ecosphere.
Yeah, well put. Why do you think Madeleine Chapman has this personal attitude towards you? Do you know much about her at all?
I don't know anything about her, I'm afraid, no.
Yeah.
I think that often when people either have a transgender child or they have someone in their family who has a transgender child or somebody who's a close friend, I think they feel beholden to support that child. And I think what happens is that if you get involved in the support of giving a child medication that is going to change its life forever and potentially make its life, the child's life, very difficult forever, once you've done that, you can't afford to turn your back on that belief. Your own self-respect, your own dignity is bound up in
guilt,
believing that gender medicine is good for kids. And yeah, you can't, and you can't change your mind, really.
So how do you feel about this, Jan, this Media Council finding now?
How do I feel about it? I feel delighted to have got the ruling, because for the first time it puts into the public domain the fact that there is a debate on these issues. And one of the things that the Media Council did that was very good was to say, in response to each of the aspects of my concern about the article, was that there was a debate and it was beyond the ability of the Media Council to act as a referee in respect of the different sides of the debate. So, for example, in the article it said that there was more benefit than harm from puberty blockers. Now, that's not in the CAS report at all, but it gave me the opportunity to say, well, here are the cases in the CAS report where harm is demonstrated. And I listed a number. And so the Media Council said they weren't able to make a determination. Now, that's quite unusual within New Zealand to actually have an official document that makes that case over a number of different aspects of the medicine.
So if Madeline is listening right now, Madeline Chapman, spin-off editor, what would you say to her?
I'd say, the way that the spin-off approaches issues of gender is to give a very, very important issue with numerous aspects and numerous things that should be uncovered and discussed as part of a public discussion, a free pass. And if you give any part of society a free pass to promulgate their own views and their own ideas and their own perspectives, you do no favour to your readers, and you do no favour to the credibility of news services in New Zealand. And in fact, we know very well that the trust in the media in New Zealand is very low. And if we have journalists and editors who are prepared to countenance only giving one side of any argument a voice, then we head into dangerous territory. That's what I'd say to Madeline, yeah.
Any final words, Jan, before we end the chat? Really interesting, this, by the way. So interesting.
Hey, thank you. Well, there are two areas that where there is existing kind of misinformation. I have to say misinformation. There was an article about the midwifery scope of practice, which I asked for the ability to have a rebuttal to.
Yep.
And it painted a sort of glorious picture. And in fact, that midwifery scope of practice is now the subject of a government regulatory review committee complaint.
Yep. Okay.
And there's another. Yeah, that's what happens. If you give one side a free pass, things suddenly pop up out of the blue and the public at large has no idea what's been going on. So they can't make they can't read good quality information and make up their own minds. And after all, that's what journalism's for.
On that note, Jan Rivers, thanks for coming back on RCR. Really interesting to hear that story.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.